بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فعن عبد الله ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال كنت خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما فقال يا غلام اني اعلمك كلمات احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك اذا سالت فاسال الله واذا استعنت فاستعن بالله وعلم ان الامه لو اجتمعت الا ان ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك الا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك وان اجتمعوا الا ان يضروك بشيء لم يضروك الا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك رفعت الاقلام وجفت الصحف او كما قال عليه الصلاه والتسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وانعم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه واتباعه وازواجه وذرياته My dear respected elders and honorable brothers and sisters in Islam. As we know, the theme for this year's Path to Piety conference has been kept fulfilling the rights of others. And this is a very important Islamic concept that needs to be embedded into our minds, especially us, the Muslims living in the 21st century. The world we are living in today, the culture we are living around today has made us very, very selfish. Very, very selfish. Oh, I'm just worried about getting what I want and I'm only worried about demanding what should be deserving to me and I don't need to worry about anybody else. It's one-way traffic. I should get everything I want. I should get everything I need. I don't need to bother about delivering the rights and delivering what is deserved to other people. Whereas, my dear brothers, this is an Islamic motto that تُؤَدُّونَ الْحَقَّ الَّذِي عَلَيْكُمْ وَتَسْأَلُونَ اللَّهَ الَّذِي لَكُمْ that you should fulfill the rights of others. Before you think to yourself that, oh, my employer hasn't paid me on time, or my employer has paid me like this, or my husband has done so and so to me, and my wife has done such and such thing to me. Before we talk about these things, we need to ask ourselves that, have I fulfilled the rights that I must towards my wife? Have I been fulfilling my duty properly or not? So we first of all need to understand that Islam is this religion. Islam is a religion that delivers rights. Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, the Grand Mufti of Pakistan today, you can say, one of the leading scholars, he says that, and I've heard with my ears when he has come to the UK as well, and he said that Hakim al-Ummat Maulana Shafali Thanvi rahmatullahi used to say, Deen ka khulasa yahi hai. Deen ka khulasa yahi hai, adai huquq aur hifz-e hudud. He says, this is deen in a nutshell. This is the whole, all of our teachings of deen in a nutshell, adai huquq, that we fulfill the rights of others, whether it be the Khaliq, the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or whether it be the huquq of the makhluq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hifz-e hudud, the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you make sure you preserve them, you do not cross the limits. You do not cross the boundaries set down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers, my respected Ustaz, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Salim Dorat Sahib Hafizahullah, he says a very beautiful thing. He says, nowadays when the husband and wife-to-be are engaged, now the husband starts to read up on the rights of the husband. And the wife-to-be starts to read up on the rights of the wife. Why? Because already they are entering into this relationship with this notion in mind that I need to know what he has to do for me. And he wants to know what she should be doing for him. And the respected Sheikh says that how harmonious will that marriage become if they picked up the other book. If the husband picked up and read up on the rights of the wife, because he wants to build up this notion and this attitude that when I'm going into this marriage, I want to make sure I fulfill all of her rights. And she picks up the book called The Rights of the Husband, because she has this positive attitude that my rights, let me put them to the side for now. Let me first of all find out what rights are on my shoulders that I need to fulfill for my husband, so that I can fulfill those rights. If the employer looks into that, am I fulfilling the rights of my employee properly? And the employee looks into that, I am going into this employment, am I fulfilling the rights of my employer properly or not? So this, delivering the rights to others. And these rights that we have can be split into two. Hukukullah and hukukul ibad. Those rights of Allah that belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We worship Allah alone. We do not ascribe partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray the five that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon us. We fast the month of Ramadan. We meet the requirements, then we go for the pilgrimage. We discharge zakat from our wealth. These are the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran that has been sent down to us, we fulfill the rights of the glorious Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been sent down, we fulfill the rights of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These can be categorized as huququllah. And then we have huququl ibad, the rights of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rights of your neighbors. The rights of those people under you, your children. Those people who are working for you. The rights of the spouse, silatul rahim. The rights of kinship and relationship. We have the rights of trade, we have the rights of employment, etc., etc., etc. So these are huququl ibad. And understand one thing before I move on to my topic and what I'm about to discuss today, my dear brothers and sisters, that this concept of fulfilling rights needs to be done in moderation and in proportion and with the right balance. So I am somebody and I say, yes, I want to fulfill the rights of the creation. And I understand the rights of my parents is very strong. But he doesn't do it with moderation. So he says that he fulfills the rights of his parents so much. Or shall I say that he worries about fulfilling the rights of his parents so much that he becomes completely neglectful of his wife. He becomes completely neglectful of his children. So these rights that we have, Islam, my dear brothers, is a moderate religion. So the commandments of Islam must be kept in moderation as well. And this is why we have the ulama kiram, so that we understand what is the right thing to do at the right time. At a certain time, certain thing will need preference. And at other times, other things will have priority. So we have to find out from the ulama kiram. So what I would like to discuss, because inshallah, in the next 3 days, the ulama kiram, we will talk much about the rights of the creation, which are very important as well. So, as an introduction, we can start off with huququllah, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My dear respected brothers, think for a moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no rights towards us anyway. Meaning there is no way that something can be compulsory on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has to fulfill towards us. Despite that, is there a need that you have that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not fulfilled? And if Allah ta'ala has not fulfilled that, my dear brothers and sisters, it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that this thing is better for you later on. Or this thing, it is better for you that you do not get this from me. And it is for this reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give it to us. Otherwise, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us into this world. And whilst we were still in the womb of our mothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nurtured us. Every need of ours that we had, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled that need of ours. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then brought us into this world. And when we came into this world, till whilst we are sitting over here, every need that we had, Allahu Akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left no deficiency in fulfilling those needs of ours. Allahu Akbar. Just this thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been so kind to me, it should compel us to ponder over this, that, ya, what is it that I need to do back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu used to say, that, O Allah, You are exactly how I want you to be for me. Oh Allah, whenever I need your help is there. Oh Allah, whenever I need your assistance is there. Oh Allah, you have granted me honor, respect, dignity. Oh Allah, you have given me everything that I want. Oh Allah, you are exactly the way I want you to be for me. So oh Allah, make me how you want to see me. So this is our maqsad of sitting here today. Now what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us so that I can strive to fulfill that? So I can also become one who is loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we have in the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Mu'az radiallahu anhu says that one day I was on the mount, on the conveyance with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on a conveyance called Ufair, a mule kind of animal. And I was right behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when I'll go on, I'll also narrate to you one hadith of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah. He also says the same thing as well. That, كُنْتُ رِدْفَ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that one day I was on the mount, right seated right behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What do we learn from there? We learn from here that we should make an effort to acquire the close proximity of the pious people. The pious people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, we should make an opportunity to, and we should make an effort to be as close to them as possible. Let's take for example our Jum'ah Salah. Somebody leaves the house 20 minutes early before the Jum'ah Bayan. But what will they do? They will come to the side of the masjid and lean on the walls. They will sit back. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that you come forward. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained few examples that when talks are being given as well, you should make every effort to be as closest as possible. Because that way you will benefit the most. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, he is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And normally one cousin will not look up to the other cousin and feel in need of him. But when Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu knew that this is the Prophet, this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has been blessed with the prophethood. He has been blessed with knowledge and I am in need of that. I am in need of that piety, I am in need of that knowledge. So look, he would strive to find opportunities to be close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this Sayyidina Mu'az radiallahu anhu says that one day I was right behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he called me, Ya Mu'az ibn Jabal. So I said, Labbayka wa sa'adayka ya Rasulallah, I am present, O Prophet of Allah. How? What can I do? What assistance can I be of? So he says, Ya Mu'az, أَتَدْرِي مَا حَقُّ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ وَمَا حَقُّ الْعِبَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ. O Mu'az, do you know what is the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the creation? Meaning, what rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are on the creation that they need to fulfill? وَمَا حَقُّ الْعِبَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And what are the rights of the creation upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I.e. what rights of the creation does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need to deliver? And this in balagha is called taqabul, where really, like I was saying, that Allah ta'ala, my dear brothers, there are no such rights. There is nothing that can be wajib or compulsory on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But just to make us understand that this is what we need to do for Allah, and in return Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do this for us. So he says, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Another etiquette of knowledge that we learn. If you're posed with a question and you don't know the answer, then you don't make guesses. Oh, I think it should be like this, especially with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't know, we remain quiet. If we don't know, we say, I do not know. Go to somebody else with more knowledge. Or if you're a knowledgeable person yourself, you will say that inshallah, I will find out for you. Please come back to me at another time and I will tell you. But we don't take guesses. So Sayyidina Mu'az radiallahu anhu, and even higher etiquette than that, your ustad says to you that, do you know why I did so and so? And you think you know the answer. But even then, the best etiquette will be that, oh ustad, you know better, you tell me. So Sayyidina Mu'az radiallahu anhu says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, أَتَدْرِي مَا حَقُّ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ. Do you know what is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his bondsmen? He said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Our Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. They know more. So he said, حَقُّ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ أَيَعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Bas, two sentences. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned two sentences. Two things. You and I would have thought that, oh Allah, and to fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be such a long list. But two things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Unfortunately, majority of us sitting over here, we have already ticked one box. Alhamdulillah. Said, أَيَّعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. The haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the bondsmen, they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They carry out the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they do not ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters, the biggest haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we do His tawheed. We believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And majority of us, we understand what that means. And alhamdulillah, we refrain from such acts. So what about this other thing? أَيَّعْبُدُوهُ. That they carry out the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does ibadat mean that we just pray our salah because this is ibadah? Read Quran because this is a form of ibadah? So okay, I'll read Quran, I'll pray my salah and I'll do dua. I've gone for hajj. I'll give zakat because this is an ibadah as well. These are forms of ibadah. These are forms of ibadah. Ibadah has a very, very broad meaning. Ibadah has a very broad meaning. Ibadah means that a person, he acts like the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He adopts the subservitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He adopts this conduct that, nay, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from me, I will carry that out. One master asked his slave, he was in a good mood, so he had a slave. So the master asked the slave once that, you know, today I'm in a very good mood and, you know, normally whatever is left over, we treat it, we feed it to you. But today I'm in a good mood. So you ask from me, whatever food you tell me to make, I will get that made for you and we will feed you that today. So he said, oh master, whatever you want to feed me, I will eat it. The slave said. So the master for Ajib, I'm giving him the opportunity. I'm asking him and still he's saying that, no, whatever what you want to do. Today I'm in a very good mood. Normally you wear ripped clothes, patched clothes, but garments that we don't need in our palace anymore. You wear them. You tell me today, what kind of garment do you want to wear? I'll get it made for you. He says, no, master. Whatever you want to don me with, then I will wear. He said, master for Ajib. So he said, fine. Today you're at your freedom today. Today, wherever you want to go, you tell me, and I will take you to that place. I'll make sure you get to visit whatever and wherever you want to visit. So he says that, no, I don't have anything in mind. Wherever you want to take me, I will go. So the master got angry. And he said, what's wrong with you? Every day you always remain subjugated to me. You always follow you always fulfill whatever I tell you to do. And today I'm giving you the chance to speak, to make a request. And still you are remaining quiet. Or still you are saying that, no, whatever you want. So the slave, my dear brothers and sisters, gave a very beautiful answer. And if only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the reality of this answer as well. If we can walk away with this one answer that He has given, and digest that and inculcate that same attitude, we will be the champions of this world and the hereafter. The slave said that, what kind of slave is that slave who has his own desires? A slave is he who always looks out for the desires of his master and endeavors to fulfill his desires. But wo kaun sa gulam hai jo apni khwahish pe chalta hai? Gulam to wo hai jo apne aqa ki khwahish pe chalta hai. Allahu Akbar. This is abdiyat, my dear brothers. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned over here, that ayya'buduhu, that they carry out the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadat is not just limited to those few acts that I have said to you. Abdiyat, to become an abd is a lifelong commitment. To become an abd is not one, two acts. It's a whole culture that a person brings into his life. That at every step of my life, I want to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from me, and I will not put my ifs and buts in the way. I will not put my own desires in the way. Allah wants this, but oh, right now I think I should do it like this. Allah wants this, but everyone in my family is saying otherwise, so I may have to do otherwise. I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this is haram, but everybody else is doing it, so I might just end up carrying that out as well. He's not an abd. He's not an abid. He's not somebody who has got this quality of abdiyat and subjugating himself in front of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not have this inside of him. And our ulama explain that from the different maqams and the statuses a person can have, the best maqam a person can have is the maqam of abdiyat. And they explain how. Look at the beautiful words Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. Inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allah bi'idnihi wa sirajan munira. All these beautiful titles he gives to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when it comes to the time to praise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in maqam al-ta'rif, in those places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word abd, abd, abd. Talking about mi'raj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about revealing the Quran, Tabarakalladhi nazzala al-furqana ala abdihi. This great miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down. And here he could have said that, so high is that being who has revealed the Furqan, the Quran, upon his messenger, upon the leader of the prophets, upon the best of humanity. But he says, no, abd. Because this is the best maqam a person can acquire, my dear brothers and sisters. So this, we need to make an effort to bring this abdiyat into our lives. That we always make this effort to find out that what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want from me? And when we understand and acknowledge what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, then we carry it out at its due time. We carry it out at its due time. And the last thing we want to do, the most evil thing we can do, is any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we fail to carry that out in our lives. Especially the wajibat and the fara'is. Those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, it is compulsory that you carry this out. We fail to carry it out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is compulsory for you to refrain from this. And we do not refrain from there. This is a very evil thing that we can do. So, ma haqqu Allahi ala al-ibad? What is the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us servants? أَيَّعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. That we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, i.e. we live our lives in such a way. We live our lives in such a way that all the time our biggest concern and priority on our list is that we please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to do. Look at Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, Khalilullah, the close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The maqam Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to him, that Allah ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَمْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَ. That millat Ibrahim, the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, is so high, that only a foolish person can turn away from the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. So how did Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam acquire this status in the eyes of Allah? Because Allah explains this to us as well. And Allah explains this so you and I can make this the motto of our lives as well. That إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That whenever, at any junction, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam that, oh Ibrahim, this is my command. And subjugate to this command. Subjugate to this, accept this command. And make sure you fill it out, fulfill it. So he says, أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Oh Allah, I have already subjugated myself for the Lord of the universes. Allahu Akbar. So when a person will become like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate his status. Do the right thing at the right time. In calamities, sometimes we lose our senses. When the difficulty comes, then all our deen and the conjunctions of deen, everything is put to one side. Now he'll wail, he'll say those things that he is not supposed to say. The son, na'udhu billah, Allah save all of us, has been afflicted by cancer. So now he says it. That, oh, I am so good, I always fast, I always pray my salah on time. Didn't Allah find anybody else to give cancer to? Why did Allah Ta'ala have to give my son cancer? Why did Allah Ta'ala have to take my mother away so quickly? She was such a good woman. So now look, in his bare sabri, in his impatience, he is now objecting to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he realizes, he's been told that your son Ibrahim radiallahu anhu is having breathing difficulties. And such bad breathing difficulties that it looks like he may lose his life. And some ulama mentioned that he took Ibrahim, his son. And who is this? Not any normal father. Rahmatul lil alameen. That being that no being has ever come on this earth who would have more mercy in his heart for anybody else. His heart was full of mercy. So a merciful, compassionate father takes his son in his hands. And ulama explained, some ulama mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was holding Ibrahim radiallahu anhu and he passed away in his hands. How painful must that moment have been? How painful must that moment have been? But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized he's passed away, this is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not mean that he made himself hard-hearted. No, he cried. And he said, إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ تَدْمَعْ وَالْقَلْبَ يَحْزَنْ وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يَرْضَى بِهِ رَبُّنَا وَإِنَّا بِفِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَمَحْزُونُونَ. Verily the eye is shedding tears. Verily the eyes are shedding tears. Verily the heart feels very heavy. The heart has been very badly grieved. And we are very upset by your departure. And the fact that now you and I are separate, oh my dear son Ibrahim. But this is abdiyat. That وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يَرْضَى بِهِ رَبُّنَا. But we will not say but those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with. We will not say any comment, make such a comment, make such a statement that will bring the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says that I was behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, oh young man, and the young people sitting over here, nobody should think that, oh I am young, I have no responsibility. No. Ya ghulam, ulama explained that ya ghulam, ghulam is used for someone who's not even reached his teenagers yet. And they say Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas was about 9 to 10 years old when he heard this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But just imagine how hard he strived to acquire knowledge. How hard he strives to connect to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that he can connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he became Ra'isul Mufassirin. He said, ask me. I know with regards every single verse of the glorious Quran, where that verse was revealed, when that verse was revealed, and why that verse was revealed. Ra'isul Mufassirin. And how high his maqam became. So he says, I was behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our 9-year-old child today, if he'll go home, mom will ask, but what did you hear in the masjid? Yeah, Imam Sahib was telling something about deen. He was talking about Islam. And when he doesn't know the answer, he'll probably say, you should have listened to the receiver yourself. You should have listened to the live because he doesn't know the answer. And here we have our 9-year-old. He transmit this hadith to the ummah that till today this hadith is still alive. Allahu Akbar. Until, inshallah, for many generations to come. Till the day of judgment, these teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will remain alive. So he says, Ya ghulam, O young man, inni u'allimuka kalimat. I'm going to teach you some lessons, learn them. Take these lessons on board. Number one, احفظ الله يحفظك. You safeguard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You preserve Allah, Allah will preserve you. But we can't preserve Allah. What does it mean by preserve Allah? احفظ احكام الله. You preserve the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will preserve you. Allah will preserve you from calamities. Allah will preserve your family from calamities. And if the calamities come, they won't be to punish you. If you are safeguarding the commandments of Allah, Allah will not send down calamities to punish you, but calamities are still coming. Allah is sending down calamities to elevate your status. اِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظْكَ اِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ تَجِدْهُ تُجَاهَكَ. You safeguard the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will always find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of you. I.e., Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be there to make sure you take the right step. Allah ta'ala will save you from making errors. Sayyidina Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu says, إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَمَثَلِ الْمَرِيزِ الَّذِي مَعُهُ الطَّبِيبِ. He says that the example of a true believer in this world is like a sick person with whom the doctor always stays with him. If there's a sick person, and the doctor understands what illness he has, and the doctor will, if that sick person takes any steps that will increase his illness, then the doctor will always stop him. No, 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 you cannot eat this, it's no good for you. You cannot go over here, the weather will not be good for you. I.e. the doctor will always save him from doing anything wrong. So he says, the true believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always save him from making any wrong steps. Allahu Akbar. Uwaysi Qarni, rahmatullahi alayhi. Who is Uwaysi Qarni? Sayyidu al-Tabi'een. The greatest from the Tabi'een. Those who saw the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu majma'een. They weren't fortunate to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have the Sahaba who saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we have the Tabi'een. Those who saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He became Sayyidu al-Tabi'een. The leader of the Tabi'een. Why? Why was this maqam given to him? Because he had a desire. And he understood that at this time, this is the desire of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hence, I will sacrifice my desire for their desire. I want to do something, but when I know Allah wants something else from me, true abdiyat will be that I do what Allah wants me to do. And what was that? He had, and who would not have the desire to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So when he was living in Qarn in Yemen, he heard about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he brought iman on him. Now he had this desire in his heart that I want to go to Medina Munawwara and I want to see with my eyes the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a message to him because he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I want to come to you. I want to come to you, I want to come into your khidmah, but my mother is very ill at home and I am the only one who can look after her. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to him saying that, "Oh, Uwaysi Qarni, you remain where you are in Qarn, because it is more virtuous for you and it is the obligation upon you that you fulfill the rights of your mother. More, this will be better for you than coming to Medina Munawwara to come and visit me." You see, he went to the alim. He went to the one with knowledge to ask, because maybe he would have taken the wrong step. But he listened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He adopted abdiyat. He adopted abdiyat. إِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظْكَ. Allah saved him from making the wrong step. إِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ تَجِدْهُ تُجَاهَكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was there to ensure that he makes the right step. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate those people who are loyal to him? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he left this world, he told Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, "Umar, a time will come where from Qarn in Yemen, a man will come, he will look like this, he will have this sign." And he mentioned a few signs about Uwaysi Qarni radiallahu anhu. "Oh Umar, when you see him or you find out about his coming to Medina Munawwara, Umar, you go to Uwaysi Qarni and you request him to make dua and maghfirat for you. Because whomever Uwaysi Qarni will ask maghfirat for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive that person." Umar, his maqam is so high. Despite that, he goes to Uwaysi Qarni when he comes to Medina Munawwara. And he says, "Oh Uwaysi Qarni, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us this about you. So please make dua and maghfirat for me." Allahu Akbar. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates their status. Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, he is there. His whole village, everyone in his tribe, they are all doing idol worship. Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, the story is famous. When they went to one mela one day, one fair one day, Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam went into the Kaaba, he broke all the idols. Anyway, they realized it was Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, so they said that, "Throw him in the fire." And they lit a fire for him. But he was loyal to Allah. Everyone else was doing it, so should he do it as well? Today it happens, isn't it? I have a wedding, you have a wedding, he has a wedding, he has a wedding. And everybody else does mixed function. Everybody becomes extravagant in those weddings. So now when the fifth one gets married, he says, "Yeah, I don't want to be extravagant." But because everybody else is doing it, log kya kahenge? What answer will I be able to give to everybody else? So he will end up doing that as well. I know that, you know, this is the ruling on such a thing, and this is the ruling on such a thing, but everybody else seems to be doing it, so if I do it as well, it'll be okay. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam didn't say this. I'm young, and everybody else is doing idol worship, and na'uzu billah, I should do the same as well. No, he was loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came. قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرُدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. That, oh fire, this is the order from Allah, that you become cool and you become a means of peace for Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He comes out from there untouched. Allahu Akbar. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayhi, what a great person. Ulama say that because after the corruption that came after the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, after a while, if anyone deserves to be called the next Khalifa, the fifth Khalifa, it was Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayh. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he gets into an illness, his leg is amputated. His leg is amputated. And he is there in hospital, and the day he is in hospital, recovering in hospital, one of his sons, he falls down from the roof and he passes away. He went up to the roof to get something and he passes away. And another one of his sons passes away as well. So, one person came to visit Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and he said, oh, Umar, you know, Allah Ta'ala, He sends down calamities sometimes, and you've already gone through this calamity, and I'm so sorry to tell you the news, but your two sons have passed away. Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz went quiet for a while. He went quiet for a while. And the other people who were visiting, they told that person that, look, why did you have to tell him right now? Look, you've put him in such a difficult position now. Slowly, Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he raises his head. And he said that, verily, by Allah, I do not wish anything different had happened than to what has happened. I do not have no wish that, oh, if only my sons didn't pass away, if only my leg wasn't taken away from me, meaning so much taslim and rida, so much contentment, and so much acceptance for the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, whatever Allah ta'ala has done, it is my belief that this is better for me and my family and my children, and I do not wish that anything different would have occurred than to what has already happened. Ihfazillah. He is somebody who was loyal to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him from making any wrong steps. The story is famous that one sahabiyya radiallahu anha, her husband passed away in the battlefield. Her son passed away in the battlefield. Her father passed away in the battlefield. For a woman, these are her three strengths. Her father, her husband, and her son. All three of them passed away in the battlefield. And now she gets this news, she comes closer to the battlefield, and she is there in her full niqab and hijab. So another sahabi says to her, that, oh woman, I can't believe it, that when a woman hears the shock of her husband passing away, what she goes through. And here you have your husband, your father, and your son. And despite that, you have come in full hijab. Look, she was loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made sure she didn't say anything wrong. Even at a difficult time like this, when emotions are demanding something else, when it is the norm to do something else, what does she say? She says, yes, you are right. I have lost my family, but I haven't lost my haya. I've lost my family, but I haven't lost my Allah. I will still remain loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. There was this person in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aswad ibn Qais al-Anasi. He was somebody who had claimed prophethood. He was somebody who had claimed prophethood. So when he came to Yemen, people told him that there's a very big alim over here, Abu Muslim al-Khawlani. So he summoned Abu Muslim. He was a zalim, he was an oppressor. So he summoned Abu Muslim al-Khawlani, and he had a big following. Big following who took him, na'udhu billah, as a messenger after the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Na'udhu billah. Whereas ana khatamun nabiyyina wa la nabiyya ba'di, ma kana rasulullahi aba ahadin min rijalikum walakin rasulullahi wa khataman nabiyyin. We believe in this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the seal of the prophets. There will be no prophet after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this man made this claim and people fell for it. And he summoned Abu Muslim al-Khawlani. Atashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah? That, do you bear testimony that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah? He says, Naam, yes. Atashhadu anni rasulullah? Do you bear witness that I am the Prophet of Allah? He says, sorry, I can't hear you. What did you say? He says, Atashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah? Do you bear witness that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, he is the messenger of Allah? He says, Naam. He says, Atashhadu anni rasulullah? Do you bear witness that I am the Prophet of Allah? He says, I can't hear you. He knew that if I say no, immediately this person... So he tried to dodge it. But the person realized. Aswad al-Anasi, he realized that this person, he is not declaring my prophethood. So what he said was that light a big fire for him. Light a big fire and we need to finish him off over here. But he was loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ihfazillaha yahfazk. You safeguard the commandments of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be there for you. Ihfazillaha tajidhu tujahak. Allah will always preserve you. Allah will always be there for you. Allah will save you from doing wrong. Ajib hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أَحْبَبْتُهُ فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ وَيَدَهُ الَّذِي يَبْتُشُ بِهَا وَرِجْلَهُ الَّذِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. He says that when a servant, he fulfills my haqqi azmat, i.e. he fulfills the fara'is, the wajibat, this the haqq of awe, and he fulfills my haqqi muhabbat, and he fulfills the haqq of my love. One is you provide for your wife. One is you fulfill her needs. It's a certain haqq. One is you go out of your way to make her happy. One is you go out of your way to buy her gifts. But why do you do this? You don't have to do this. It's because I love her. One, I was doing it because she's my wife. And I have to fulfill her right. But I'm going out of my way because I'm not just ticking the box. I have muhabbat for her as well. So those people who are just ticking the box, saving themselves from Jahannam, they'll only remain on haqqi azmat. I'm only going to do enough so that Allah doesn't punish me. But the real abideen, those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will also fulfill the haqqi muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will go out of their way to display their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do you do this? By carrying out the optional acts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith of Qudsi, that when my servant fulfills the optional deeds as well, he carries out optional acts as well, and he does it so much that he loves me anyway, that's why he's doing the nafil. But I also fall in love with him as well. He says, when I fall in love with him, look at the thamarat, look at what I give him in return. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when I fall in love with my servant, I protect him so much that I become his ears through which he listens. I become his eyes through which he sees. I become his hands through which he touches things. I become his legs through which he walks. But what does that mean? Meaning, I become in full control of them. And Allah Ta'ala will never do anything wrong. So Allah Ta'ala takes this responsibility upon himself to protect his servant from doing anything wrong. So when we will become loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save us. When we become loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish us. When we become loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will be there at every step to ensure that we take the right step. So because this Abu Muslim al-Khawlani rahmatullahi alayhi did not give in, he remained loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look, the fire was lit up for him. He went into the fire and he came out spotless. He came out without the slightest of damage. This is how Allah ta'ala saves his servants. It doesn't end here. Look at the maqam Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to him. So the people of Aswad al-Anasi told him that you better get rid of him from here. You better get rid of him from here, because if he stays here, he's going to finish you off. So he exiled him, that you leave, you have to leave Yemen. So he migrated to Medina Munawwara. When he reached Medina Munawwara, came to the masjid, went against one pillar, started praying salah behind the pillar, and Umar radiallahu anhu recognized him. This is after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the khalif. Umar radiallahu anhu recognized that this person doesn't look like he's from Medina. Like Mufti Sahib said to me yesterday, that you know some people when they come from the UK, you just know they're from the UK. So Umar radiallahu anhu knew that this person is not from Medina Munawwara. So he asked, where are you from? Min ayna ja'a ar-rajul? He said, from Yemen. So he says that we heard about this story about somebody who lit a fire on somebody else who was rejecting to accept his prophethood. So look at this, his ikhlas. Pious people, the true abdiyat is that whatever you do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you keep it between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ikhlas is there. You don't want others to find out. You don't want to disclose it to others. So he says, yeah, his name was Abdullah i.e. he said that he's Abdullah, yes, he's one servant of Allah. He didn't say it was me. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, listen, by Allah I'm telling you to tell me the truth. By Allah I'm asking you, are you him? So obviously now he gave qasam by Allah. He said, by Allah it is me. So Umar radiallahu anhu first kissed him between his eyes, my dear brothers. Allahu Akbar. Someone who stood for the finality of the prophethood. Someone who stood in defense of the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar radiallahu anhu is kissing him between his eyes. And then Umar radiallahu anhu takes him and he makes him sit in the middle between him and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Look at the status that is elevated by Allah. Then Umar radiallahu anhu says that all thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has kept me alive, who has not caused me to die until I see from this ummah those people who went through the same things that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam went through. He also had to resist in that fire as well. So my dear brothers and sisters, when we will adopt this motto in our life, and let others do what they are doing. If you can't help them, they don't want to listen to you, let them carry on doing wrong. It does not mean that you join them. This should be your mission in life. And you should tell others, not with bazubane qal, but bazubane hal. You don't have to tell people with your mouth, but your body action should give this message to everybody else. That teri juda pasand, meri juda pasand, tujhe khudi pasand, mujhe khuda pasand. Your vision, your mission, your objective in life. Doesn't matter if everybody else is forcing you to do something. Doesn't matter if everybody else will become upset with you as well. Sometimes our own family members temporarily become upset with us. Oh, you are not doing this, there's this flexibility, still you are not doing this. And they try to bring so many justifications for it. Tawheed to ye hai ke khuda mahshar mein keh de, ye banda do alam se khafa mere liye hai. The poet says that true tawheed is, doesn't matter if everybody on this earth is upset with you. Ask yourself, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy with me or not? And Allah ta'ala announces tomorrow on the day of judgment that doesn't matter if everybody else was angry with him, but I am happy with this person. Because this person sacrificed everything for my sake. So when we will become loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be there for us. I will finish off the hadith. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Sayyidina Mu'az radiallahu anhu, أَتَدْرِي مَا حَقُّ الْعِبَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ. When the servants of Allah will fulfill this right to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they become the true abds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not ascribe partners with him, then do you know what is their right upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. He said, their haq upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah yu'azibahum, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish them. This, فَمَنْ زُحْزِهَا عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازِ. He who is saved from the fire of Jahannam and given entry into Jannah, this is the true success. So loyalty to Allah, how do we become loyal to Allah? We always remain considerate of the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. In one place Allah says, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. These are the boundaries of Allah. These are the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not cross them. Do not violate the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever does so will only be oppressing himself. And in another place Allah says, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. These are the boundaries of Allah. فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. Forget about crossing the boundaries of Allah. Do not even go close to that grey area due to which slowly you may end up violating the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the boundaries of Allah. And whoever stays within the boundaries, whoever does not violate the boundaries of Allah and the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is obedient to Allah. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Whoever is obedient to Allah and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Allah ta'ala will grant him entry into such gardens, such orchards, under which rivers will be flowing. He will remain in there forever. Allah says, وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. This is the true success. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all give me and everybody else listening the tawfiq to bring this into our lives, that we want to become the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to become those who are truly loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that easy for us. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammadin wa alihi wa sallam.